And I've been twisting his arm for the last 6 months, and he said, yes, finally. Right?
Right.
Right. Mike has been an inspiration to all of us in the last 6 years that he's been around here. And his sincere desire to follow the Lord and to know His Word is a treasure to all of us. Father, we just thank You for Mike, and we thank You for Your Word, and we ask that You would open our hearts and minds to hear and to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good morning. I also like to pray at the beginning all the time, so let's just pray together again. Lord, I'm so unable to do this and to speak Your Word. I just ask that You would come with Your Holy Spirit and empower and anoint. Lord, that You would open our ears to hear You. Lord, that we would open our hearts higher, higher to receive the King of Glory into our lives. Lord, we expect You to move, and we ask, Lord, for change in our lives. Lord, that You would set people free. Move, Lord. Move, King of Glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We here at West Coast Christian Fellowship are a congregation in the midst of 40 days of prayer and fasting. This morning's message is to be understood in the context of your prayer and fasting, of personal renewal in your walk with the Lord, of the lifting of your head, and of the Lord making His home in your life. Our text this morning is a psalm written by Israel's sweet singer, David, as guided by the Lord, the Holy Spirit. It is a solemn and joyful psalm. It begins with a hymn of affirmation to the owner of the earth, who desires the fullness of all his creation. The psalmist then asks a central question, to which he also provides direct answers, and then sets apart the generation of the Lord as those who seek his face. But most dear of all in this psalm is a climactic and celestial chorus lifted from the host of heaven on the King of Glory's behalf. Please turn with me now in your Bible to the majestic and triumphant strains of Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul unto vanity or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. This Sunday's message is entitled, And the King of Glory Shall Come In. We will divide this psalm into four parts as we study it today. Verse 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, for He founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. It is mine. It is my time. It is my schedule. It is my time off. It is my relaxing vacation. It is mine. It is my car. It is my house. It is my lawn. It is my food. It is my drink. I own it, and you cannot have any of it. It is my life. It is my choice. These are my children. This is my baby. King David held a different and very radical perspective on what belongs to whom. He speaks on behalf of the great proprietor of the earth at the opening to the 24th Psalm and reveals the heavenly perspective on ownership. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all who live therein. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. What contrast is sharper than this godly view against some of our own rules for ownership? It is my body. It is my mind. It is my personality. It is my job. It is my hard-earned money, and I need it. It is my relationship. It is my future. And so it is my decision. My hearers, we are people, and as people we compose some of the fullness of the earth, and we have a fullness of our own in our various endowments, giftings, and capacities. Do only parts of Christians belong to the Lord? No, but all the fullness does. Dear listeners, it is good to render your heart and your soul to Him today. It is good to open up the gates of your life to the one who already owns you and knows you through and through, but desires the fullness of what is His, to the one who is the true owner with respect to creation. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And with respect to sustentation, He sustains all things by His powerful word. Yes, my listeners, the true owner of the grounds wants to claim the fullness of what is His. He wants to talk to you today. He knows your life, your thoughts, your worries, your anxieties, because the true owner is ever watchful for what is His. Verse 3 and 4, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul unto vanity or swear by what is false. Who can see the King in His beauty and dwell in His palace? Who is worthy to climb up to the temple and behold the King of glory? The sweet singer of Israel does not hesitate, my brethren, in giving the hard response. Clean hands, pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to vain uses or swear falsely. And so we are provided with an illustration of them that would be worthy to stand on the hill of the Lord. He who would ascend must be clean in both outer and inner life, free from evil doing, free from evil thought. He must not lift up his soul to what is false. He must be faithful to fulfill his purpose in God each moment, remembering his vows and oaths to God each day. Who is able to stand, to continue at so high a pitch, to be constant in truth and piety? Who of us has clean hands? Who of us has a pure heart? Last week, a popular line from the sermon was, I think I fall short of those requirements. But concerning clean hands and a pure heart, my brothers and sisters, I have a few remarks. The first of which is the following. Outward practical holiness is a very precious mark of grace. Clean hands are a very precious mark of a pure heart. How vain is the inward experience unless the outward is free from dishonesty, violence, and oppression? How vain is a man's faith without the accompaniment of a godly character? Yes, clean hands are a very precious mark of a pure heart. My second remark is an easier one to bear. It is this. True dealings with God are not dealings with hands, but dealings with hearts. How vain are your outward ways unless your inward experience is one of grace from the Lord Jesus? Though your hands are clean, if your heart is not, you will be vile in the sight of the one who is perfect. The sum of these remarks, my hearers, is this. If we find that our heart is not pure and if our hands are dirty, the one who is perfect is there and asks, give me your heart. Give me your soul. Give me your hands. They are mine. Remember, the true owner is ever watchful for something. He's ever watchful for your fullness. Have you dwelt in the tents of vanity? Have you lifted your soul to vain uses? Has the world satisfied you? Has it fed you this week? Worry not, saint. The King of glory shall come in. It is a sad situation, a soul that is taken for granted and treated vainly. So choice and tender a piece employed for so vain of uses. How often have you even accidentally lifted your soul to the achievement of vain things, whether at home or work, and even in your personal walk with the Lord? But we know that the Lord of the fullness of the earth desires the fullness of His people as well. Worry not, saint, the King of glory shall come in. Lift up the gates of your heart to receive Him. Higher, higher still, lift them up. When you attend a service on any given Sunday morning, and the worship is great, and the songs by Kevin Mills are wonderful, the preacher's on fire, and the lunch is delicious, and the conversation with Marius is spectacular. But when you get in your car and you get home, your life is exactly the same, and you realize that you truly aren't in heaven. Worry not, saint, the King of glory will come in. Only you prepare for Him. Only you lift up the gates of your heart. Only you seek Him as the generation that is His does seek Him. Now, my hearers, in your personal dealings with God, lift not your soul unto false things, but lift up the gates of your heart, and the King of glory shall come in. The King of glory shall come in. Saints, these questions of the psalmist are truly difficult for us. We are stuck. The righteous requirements of God are too much. I want to be found pleasing to God, of course. How then will I ascend the hill of the Lord? Clean hands? I don't have them. Pure heart? No, my Lord. Who does not lift up his soul unto vain uses? Lord, forgive me. Who does not swear by what is false? Oh, there I am a dreadful sinner. But worry not, saint. These rules only reveal to us the great representative man who answered to the full character set forth, his hands clean, his heart pure, his soul steadfast. If by faith in him we are made like him, we shall ascend the hill too, for he has already ascended before us. The quick answer to the question, who may ascend the hill of the Lord, is found in the Gospel of John. Just as Moses lifted the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that all who believe in him may have eternal life. He ascended on high and led captivity captive. He knows the difficulty because he ascended and knows the difficulties for those who must ascend. Yes, those who are his will ascend. And now, saints, let me make a remark on this last point concerning your personal ascent on the hill of the Lord. The words climbing a mountain or ascending a hill are not normally associated with the words ease or facility. A better association would be with the words difficulty and pain. I would like to share a short story with you. When I was younger, I was in high school, and I lived in Trail. There in Trail, looming over my house, is a big, wild mountain. We woke up, my friend Mike McWay and I decided to forge our own path up this mountain. We always stayed up late, we used to stay up late, and we woke up really late in the day and decided that we were going to climb that mountain. We arrived at the base of the mountain just as the heat of the sun was making a peak. Before we started, we had sweat dripping off our young heads. The climb would not be won without extreme thirst and pain. I remember at one point Mike fell 20 feet off a cliff. Fortunately, there was a tree beneath him which would either break his fall or impale him. It broke his fall. But the fall wasn't a good sign. I said to Mike, well, this is it. This is it, my good man. Today we die on this mountain. But we reached the top with several cuts and some bruises. My hearers, let it be said straight away that ascension upon the hill of the Lord is not like this last story. Not like it. But Mr. Preacher, what about the clean hands, the pure heart? True, but the Lord Jesus has already done it because you never could. What about the lifting of my soul to vain things? True, but the narrow path up the hill of the Lord is not a way of law, but a way of grace. If we find that our heart is not pure, and if we find that our hands are dirty, the one who is perfect is there and asks, give me your heart, give me your soul, give me your hands. For remember, the true owner is ever watchful for something. He's ever watchful for what is his, your fullness. And he will bring you to the top of the hill. Do you slide back and forth on the path? He will see you to the top. Do you take an alternate route? He will bring you back. Is the rain too cold or is the heat of the sun searing? We will cover you. He will cover you under his hand. And listen carefully now, saints, for this hill of the Lord is not like Sinai. It is not a mountain to be feared because of its holy law. This hill of the Lord is Zion, a mountain of grace. Sinai was a threatening place, but Zion is a welcoming place for God's generation. From Sinai, the Israelites had to keep their distance, yet on Zion, God plants his people on his holy mountain. Sinai was barren, Zion is fruitful. Sinai was a mountain of isolation, Zion is a center of life for God's church. Instead of a place of danger like Sinai, the new mountain becomes the hill of Zion, the hill of the Lord, a welcoming mountain where God's people find refuge, peace, and joy. Zion is a holy mountain to which people will stream rather than from which they will be fenced away. Yes. The cloud and fire no longer threats of the holy presence, but the comforting signs of the presence of God, guiding with shade and warmth up the hill of the Lord. His people no longer serve by a list of Christian rules, but they serve in the new way of the Spirit. No longer threatening, no longer ominous in holiness, to the hill of the Lord, His people are enabled to scream, to ascend, and to at last stand. This is rather good news then. Now isn't it, my hearers? To the hill of the Lord, you will not even walk or run, but you will flow. You will stream. Many have gone before you. Many will follow. The Lord of the fullness of the earth will do it. The King of glory shall come in. His people will not struggle to the mountain, nor will they perish on the way up. No, but they will stream to the hill of the Lord, and they will flow to the top. Many have done it already. Many will go on after you. Lift up the gates of your heart higher and higher, higher still. Ascend, dear believer, ascend. Open the gates of your heart, and the King of glory shall come in. Are you there now at the bottom of the hill? Wait no longer. Open the gates of your heart, and the King of glory shall come in, and you shall stream up the hill of the Lord. Yes, all the nations will stream unto it and flow up it. And then you will see, not Israel, but all nations converging on this hill to stand as the people of the King of glory. Not that they shall come to it, but that they shall flow unto it. They will come willingly to Christ, not by being pumped up or forced, but to be brought uphill by the word of the Lord, to be enabled by the grace of the Lord. They are to flow to it, just as the river naturally flows downhill by no other force than that of nature, so shall the grace of God be so mightily given to the sons of men. In the day of the Lord's power, they shall flow to it. In the day of the Lord's power, His people shall be willing. They will flow to the hill of the Lord. Many have already arrived. Many have already arrived. Lift up the gates of your heart. Lift up the gates of your heart. Many have already arrived. Verse 5 and 6. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those that seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. What generation? It is those that are in the line of grace, those that are regenerated. They are of the legitimate seed. They are the ones who seek God's face. Seeking has a sanctifying influence. Seek God. Those who ascend are a generation of seekers. We are a church in the midst of 40 days of prayer and fasting, seeking God in that way. If in heaven we are a generation of finders, of possessors, of enjoyers, then here we are definitely a generation of seekers. I feel I must tell you a story which I hope will inspire you to seek God earnestly. I have worked 1 year as a tile setter for a company called Touchstone Marble and Tile. Last fall, my boss Curtis told me that a deaf tile setter was going to start working with us, and that this deaf tile setter's name was John. I had never met a deaf person before, and I thought to myself, this will be very exciting. Well, I met John, and he really was completely deaf. Our method of communication was charades. It was fairly exciting. After a week of working together, I had learned a little sign language, but not nearly enough to communicate freely. So I kept a pen and paper nearby. One day we were working in Kitsilano and it was lunchtime. John left the site to get lunch and I stayed behind to eat lunch because I brought my own. The half-hour lunch break was quite regular. I rested, ate my lunch, and probably thought about many vain things. The lunch break became a little out of the ordinary when, after half an hour, John had not showed up. We were supposed to start tiling a floor and hallway after lunch, and I didn't want to start by myself since I probably wouldn't finish by the end of the day. So I busied myself with other tasks. Another half hour passed, and John was still gone. 1 hour. After 1 hour and a half of absence, I thought that John most certainly just went home and wasn't coming back. Finally, 1 hour and 45 minutes later, John walked in briskly and began rummaging through the tools. I put my hands up and asked him where he was. He went like this with his hands. And I asked him, you were praying? He had already turned away and was wanting to start working on the floor. So we just began to work. But I kept thinking to myself, did John just pray for an hour and 45 minutes? Where did he go to pray? I couldn't bear it any longer. We hadn't talked about it, and I needed to know. So I got off my knees and motioned to him and said, you were praying? John looked at me blankly, trying to figure me out. You were praying? John pointed to the sky, as if saying, God? I said, yes, yeah, praying, God. John swayed his head and hands back and forth, as if saying, a little, I guess. Finally, I grabbed my pen and paper and I wrote, When you went like this, I thought you said you were praying. John read it, and then he quickly wrote, no, I went to a restaurant in Kitsilano, Chinese food. Oh, John, the times we've had. My dear listeners, heaven is a place of possessors, of finders, of enjoyers. Here we are definitely a generation of seekers. Let us seek the Lord earnestly, for such is his generation. Seek the Lord and he will answer. Fast and pray and he will bring direction. Are you not being directed? Then seek him more, you seeker of God. Open the gates of your heart higher and he will honor you. Dear saints, let us now continue to the final part of this psalm. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. How shall the King of glory come in? The first time he came was alone and quietly, as a babe in a manger on a Bethlehem night. There was great praise then from a multitude of the heavenly hosts when the King of glory came in a state of infirmity and weakness. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests. And yet years later the King of glory came in again, to Jerusalem, gentle and riding on a donkey, talking kindly with the children as the crowds praised him. Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And in Psalm 24, the wording is unmistakably familiar. Who is this King of glory? This is the Lord Almighty in battle. This is the Lord of hosts. Such are the ways in which the King of glory came. But what is the way in which the King of glory will come? At Bethlehem and on the donkey, they saw him as he was. But when he will come, let us use a scripture to quicken our understanding, we will not see the King of glory as he was, but we will see him as he is. The second coming of the King of glory will be much different than how he ever came. If the host of heaven did so sing at his birth, at the entrance of God into that very state of humility, with what triumph will the King of glory be celebrated when he comes again in power? If they cried with praise when he rode upon a donkey and was a king without an armed force, with what praise and glory will he come when the King of glory shall come in again, riding on the clouds with his holy ones? Where were your soldiers, Captain? Where were the 10,000 who attend you, O glorious King? But when you will come again, you will come as the Lord of hosts. For the psalmist writes, who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He is not alone. But see thousands of angels attending him, 10,000 upon 10,000 rushing forth with him. If Jerusalem was stirred to inquire as to the nature of this King on a donkey, then how much greater will the host of heaven be stirred to say, the King of glory has come. If David danced when the ark entered Jerusalem, how much more applicable now is the gladness of heart, the endless cheering, the exaltation, the triumph. Thousands of angels attend him, 10,000s upon 10,000s chorus in the most beautiful refrain ever sung. For he will not come alone when he will come again. Alone he went to the cross. Alone he rose from the dead. Alone he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Alone he proclaimed the gospel to those who were disobedient from the time of Noah. Alone he emerged as the conqueror over death and the grave. Thus he showed himself the Lord mighty in battle. But when he will come down and go up the second time, he will show himself the Lord of hosts. Instead of coming down alone in silence in the mystery and beauty of the incarnation, he will be followed by all the armies of heaven. It is written, the Lord my God will come and all his saints with him. The Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and all the holy angels with him. Revelation says, thousands upon thousands will stand around him. 10,000 times 10,000 will minister unto him. Instead of the silence of the quiet chamber at Bethlehem, instead of the ponderings of Mary's heart, there will be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God accompanying him. Those that accompany him, the book of Revelation says, will be riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And they are the ones who follow the one who is whose name is the Word of God. Jesus will come back as the Lord of hosts, as the King of glory. The armies of heaven march behind him. He will war victoriously against the beast and the kings of the earth. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. Our minds often imagine Christ as he was because we have so desired to see him that way. The babe in Bethlehem, the man who talked with the woman at the well, the evangelist who spoke with Nicodemus in the Jerusalem night, the physician who walked the streets and healed the sick. How much do we wish to see him at Gethsemane, forcing his prayers to tears of blood? How much in earnest do we wish to see him ascending Calvary that we may help him on his way? Weep for him as he hung upon the cross. But you shall never see him like this. Bethlehem's glories are gone forever. Calvary's gloom has been swept away. A thorny crown, a spear, sour vinegar, the nails, the casting of lots, the lashes. These are all things that were. But these are not things that are. We shall never see him as he was. Oh, that we could set our desire on seeing the King of Glory as he is. In a vain hope, our creativity tries to picture him otherwise. But we cannot long to see him as he was because of the better promise. We shall see him as he is. We will not see the crown of thorn, but a head crowned with glory. Not with deep lashes upon his sweaty back, but with the empire called the universe upon his shoulders. Not with a stick in his hand and drawing in the dirt, but with a golden scepter striding forth in majesty and beauty. No longer the man of sorrows, but Christ the man who is the King of glory, radiant with light, clothed with rainbows, girded with clouds, wrapped in lightning, the sun beneath his feet. And yes, the rainbow belongs to him and to no one else. You will never see the sick face, the pale forehead, the weary, weary heart. You will never hear, my God, why have you forsaken me? But you will see him in his Father's glory and in his own glory, exalted as the King of glory, as he is. And when we, his saints, gather around him and stand upon the hill of the Lord, we will not weep for him or wonder upon his past, but we will clap our hands and burst forth in all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Mighty hero, be forever crowned King of kings and Lord of lords. Ours will be a pure and mingled joy, joy without sorrow, love without pity. Is your love feeble for him now? When you see him as he is, the fire will be burning and the light will be immensely abundant. When we see him, there will be no love or joy intermingled with our daily strivings. There will be worship not mingled with our toils and our sadnesses. Our time of congregational praise will be free from the stress of preparing songs, free from the pressures of getting the family ready and in the car, free from the diversions and vain wanderings of the mind, free from the yawns produced by a late Saturday night. It will be pure, unmingled joy and love when we shall see him as he is, as the King of glory, come again. In his kingdom, there is unmingled joy. Shout, shout, you that are subjects of the King Jesus. sorrows you may have, but you will not have them. Troubles may come to you because you are in this world, but you will not have them when the King of Glory shall come. All his ways are ways of pleasantness, and all his paths are peace. Joy to the world, the King of Glory comes. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. You say, I shall never enter into the hill of the Lord. I have neither clean hands nor a pure heart. Look to the Christ who has already ascended. Rest upon his merit, fall into his grace, and as you trust in the cross, you too will ascend the holy hill of God. As you stand by the fountain of blood with your faith, watch, you will stream to the mountain of God. But how do I get that character? The Spirit of God will create in you a clean heart and a willing spirit. Faith in Jesus is the work of the Holy Spirit. Your faith by itself has a will to virtues that are noble, but stand your faith next to the fountain of Jesus' blood, and you will find that your faith is enabled, is given life and given context, and that the clean hands and a pure heart and a truthful tongue will be added to your faith. The door may be very old. It may be very ancient. The door may be fresh and young, but open it still higher, for the God who seeks entrance is the King of Glory. Be lifted up. They are too low to receive the high and exalted one who is about to pass through them. Lift up your heart. Lift up the gates of your life. O King of Glory, you may say, you are too high for my doors. I can only do small things. I can say amen when the pastor says amen. I can agree with the wife when she says God is good. But God is too immense for me. And you say, there is no more room, and the door is shut, locked and bolted, and it has been a while since I have sought you to come in. But there is one who as a pleading friend waits before the gates of every heart, saying, open, 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 give me your dirty hands, give me your impure heart. The door is so rusty, you say. Then let us pray together. Lord, throw off the door hinges. Break through doors of iron steel. Make way for thyself by thy love and thy power. Come, make thyself welcome. Fit my soul to entertain thee. Your glory is too immense for me. I have not even felt like a beam of your glory, but I have felt like a piece of darkness swallowed up by your light. Make me a beam of glory, O King of Glory. And now you have heard an exposition of the 24th Psalm. The Lord is the owner of the fullness of the earth. That fullness includes the fullness of each of his people. To ascend the hill of the Lord, he demands of his seekers clean hands, pure hearts, no souls lifted unto vanity, no swearing falsely. There is but one in whom all this is fulfilled, the Son of Man. But the hill of the Lord is not the ominous threat of Sinai. This hill is Zion. And in the day of the Lord's power, seekers of God will flow to it as naturally as a river flows downhill. Lift up the gates of your heart higher and higher to receive the high King of Glory. And the King of Glory shall come in. The coming of the King of Glory has happened in Bethlehem. It has happened in Jerusalem. And it will happen again in accordance with what is written about the second coming of the Lord. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Come King of Glory. Let's stand now. Dave can come. And the worship team.
Amen, amen. That was worth waiting 6 months for. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, He is the King of Glory, the Captain of the host. And if our hands aren't clean, Mike said, the one who is there says, give me your heart. If you want to ascend the hill of the Lord, the starting point is, give Him your heart. Give Him your heart. Let Him take control of your heart. Don, you want to lead us in whatever God puts on your heart? And for those who have already given Him your heart, lift up the gates. Let Him flood in more and more and more.
The glory of the Lord endure forever.